Welcome to episode 46 of the Creative Strings Podcast with special guest Marlene Cruz Lozano. In today's episode, Marlene shares how she quit her day job after years to rediscover her love of playing and teaching violin. Her online studio at violinbootcamp.ca helps women rediscover their passion for the violin. If you play or teach music, I believe you're going to get a lot of inspiration from hearing from Marlene in this interview today.
Hello, and welcome to the Creative Strings Podcast. I'm Christian Howes, violinist, educator, and music business entrepreneur. I hope these interviews will inspire you to be creative in your life, in your art, in your business, in every way. So without further ado, let's get to it.
Marlene, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for making time to be with me today and talk about this. I'm really excited about the work you've been doing in your teaching. And I understand that after having been teaching kids for a long time, that in the last few years at least, you've also been teaching a lot of adults, and specifically adults who, like, maybe they played when they were younger, but then they took time off, and then now they really want to start playing again. And so if that's right, I guess, first of all, I'd like to know, what have you found out about, like, why do these people want to play again? Why did they stop? And maybe I'll just start with that. Why do they want to come back and play? Why should they? They have other jobs. Why do they want to play the violin?
And come back again. Well, first, thank you so much for inviting me. This is really such an honor, and I'm very excited to be here. And to answer your question, well, I actually have focused particularly in women that haven't played for a while. It just became a little niche for me, maybe because there's some reliability. And the question of why they should come back to play, I think in the case of my clients, it's mainly that it's a big passion for them. And they somehow, along the way, they lost the way or the access, or just life got in the way, which is most of the time is life got in the way, and they've been wanting to, and they just can't for a number of reasons. And my job is to help them try to figure what those reasons are. If that answers the question so far, it's mainly a long lost passion.
And so, yeah, why, what are the answers? Like, you know, what do they discover? Because, you know, I guess maybe if people say, well, I just want to play the violin, well, why do you want to play the violin? Does that become more clear for your students after they start working with you or not?
I think so. I believe for them to know what that and those answers are, first we have an actual session that I have very specific questions because I had to go through that process myself. And that's how I ended up actually teaching the way I'm teaching and working with the people that I'm working with. And it's basically a coaching session, and I really guide them through blockages that a lot of times is imposter syndrome. Most of the time is imposter syndrome, I think, is a big part of it. Sometimes it's just starting late. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, imposter syndrome. Do you mean like that they feel like they're not good enough to play and that's why they stopped?
Yeah, sometimes it's they don't feel good enough. Sometimes it's maybe just that they are so busy with their own life, just general normal life, that they feel they don't have the time to find hours in the day to practice. That's very instilled in your brain too. When you learn classical music in particular, most of the time, you know, we grow up thinking we have to practice, I don't know, 1 hour minimum or 3 hours a day. And when you are in my case, I work with busy women and particularly moms, maybe. A lot of them homeschool or are professional women that just don't find the time to have 1 hour a day. So a lot of the feedback I get is, for example, they played most of them have certain high quality play, like intermediate to advanced people is who I'm working with mostly. Most of the time they played in high school to a certain level, or even college. They've done some college, or even they have a degree. I even have one person that at some point had a master's in viola, and she was working on like a gym receptionist or something like that. And that really breaks my heart, because these are women that have made so much effort to play in the first place, and just life got in the way, right? It's not a huge big reason necessarily. Maybe they got married, maybe they got a huge job that has nothing to do with music. Maybe they have a double major, and then the double major took them another place. Or sometimes it's just babies, or going back to school, things like that. It's just life, regular life.
So there's two questions that come up for me around that. One is, how good do you need to be to justify playing the violin? How good does somebody, what do you think the answer to that question is?
That's a good question. I don't think you need to be good at all. I think you need to love the violin, not necessarily be good or bad. And I think there's a misperception. I think anyone can do well doing anything if you truly want to do it. That's the first thing. So if you have the desire, but you don't believe you can do something, then you won't do it, right? This is very simple. So you have to find it within you. Why do you love violin in particular? This is what we're talking about. And then figure a way to simply do it. I know it sounds very simple, but the way I'm saying it, it's not necessarily that simple. But I really believe that anyone can learn to play to their best of their abilities. And it's just a matter of mindset sometimes. And most of the time it's mindset, honestly. So I don't think that you have to be excellent already to continue to play violin. You can improve to the best of your abilities. So that's a big misperception, I think. And I believe that it's mainly mindset that gets in the way. And when you fix the mindset, then you can unblock those things and people can play. I think that's a big thing to explore, even for professional musicians, I think. Yeah, there's a lot of blockage in mindset as well.
Do you think that do most of your students, your adult students, do they want to perform either alone or with other people, or do they just want to practice? Like, what is their ultimate goal? Is it just to spend time with the instrument and just derive pleasure from just playing every day, or is it connected to some kind of goal to like do a performance or to connect with other people?
I have a range of people. Some people want to go back to orchestra or community orchestra. Some people really want to do their Suzuki teaching training. Some people just want to fiddle and just have fun. I have musicians that are like piano teachers, and they just have violin as a second instrument, and they want to teach better violin. They teach violin as a second instrument, so they want to improve their teaching. I have people, like I said, with masters in viola that wants to just simply play again because they just stopped playing, and they are working on something else, so they just want to return. It's a very variety, a lot of variety in that sense.
So do you think that people can get just as much satisfaction from just practicing on their own every day without ever connecting with other people and jamming together or without ever performing? I'm honestly curious. I wonder if there are differences for people, or yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think so. I think there's a lot of satisfaction. I'll give you an example. Now, maybe this doesn't qualify as not playing with anyone, because in my group we play with each other virtually. But One of my clients came to the course wanting to play the Bartok Romanian dance, the first one. And she was just telling me when we started that she originally was kind of sad and disappointed because when she was doing it, her teacher said, no, it's too difficult. So she put it away, and that was maybe high school or whatever. And then she just never did it. And it was one of her dreams. And so when we do the course, I ask them always to set up their dream, their big dream, you know, what they want to work towards. And then we set up little dreams or little objectives to get you there. And so hers was to play the piece. And by week four, she was playing it. And you know, there was so much of a blockage at the beginning, thinking, you know, I really want to play it, but you know, I'm just gonna do it. But this thing my teacher said one day, you know, those things. Just the fact that she had put it aside for so long, and then by the week three, she was playing it. Not perfect, but she was doing it. I think she was really happy with that. And so I decided, okay, let's record it. You know, if you want to really play it, record it. And then she kind of disappeared from me for a few months. And then when she came back, she could play it. And I have this section in my group that we do creative playing and recording projects just for fun. And she decided to record it with me. So one of the clients that I have was a pianist. So originally they were going to record it together. And the pianist ended up leaving the group for some reason. So I said, okay, I'll play with you. So we recorded. She made me practice, but piano. We just recorded together. So in a way, I guess we played together, but not really, because she recorded on her own, and she did it all on her own. When she was ready, she just sent it to me, and then I just put it together. So I think she got satisfaction out of that, and she didn't do it with anyone, right? She just decided to do it by herself.
Do you think that adult students in particular resonate with that type of teaching for any reason or not?
No, yes, absolutely. And I think this is like the biggest takeaway for me from working with you. And I always mention you to my students because I always say, my mentor Chris says this, you know? And I honestly think that it has been so, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say validating to have worked with you through that process because I've never been a very traditional teacher. And it's hard to be a little bit out of the box and to find validation on what you do. So I was always already kind of toying with certain things, but you really gave me a framework. So that kind of really helped me implement that in my teaching. So I'll give you a very good example. Last night's session, I have one of my members working on Bésame Mucho, and she's been working on it for a bit, but she was telling me, I'm very German playing. She says, you know, I'm very strict, but I want to be more fluid and so on. And I said, well, we have to find your Latin passion somewhere, you know? So she chose the piece. She chose Bésame Mucho. And I just let her go with it. And she came back last night and she's like, well, I decided to do it in this position just because I wanted to sound this way. And she expressed what she wanted to do. And then she says, you know what? I just wanted to sound. I have this in my mind. I wanted it to be like a tango beat. And she came up with that by herself. I said, just go for it, you know? So, because we have this platform, we record things. She decided, okay, maybe I'll do a beat in the background and I'll record it. And then she just decided to, and I said, go for it and we'll do it, you know? And she was so happy. And that's all she wanted. And she's been always playing technique and classical pieces, and she just came on that to that conclusion on her own. I provide material, but she chose to do that. She could be doing other things, but she chose to do that. So I think it's really valuable. And even for me, everything we have done with you in the two courses that I've taken, it couldn't be more enriching, I think. It makes me a better musician, and I think it makes all of us a better musician. It's just that sometimes you just don't have the access sometimes, you know? Like I wanted to learn improvisation for many, many years, and I've had some accessibility, but not until I was an adult. So if I had it when I was a kid, it would have been really fun. I would have done so much more, I think.
And so, and And so I guess these are things that you also do with your the kids that you teach, because you also teach a lot of kids too, right? Is there any difference between teaching kids and, I mean, there must be some differences between teaching kids and teaching adults. I'm curious if there are any that leap out for you.
Yeah, I teach in an organization. The name is Orchestra, and they work with children that don't have access to lessons. So it's a really cool organization. I really enjoy working for them because they give the lessons for free to the kids, and I think the kids really value that. And that's it's just really nice to be able to give them something extra, not just, I don't know, Suzuki, or not that there's anything wrong with it, you know, but I think it's limited. It's awesome, but it's limited. And I'm saying this being a Suzuki parent myself. My daughter, for example, she did Suzuki for 4 years, and we loved it, everything. She got tired of it and she quit, and she's not interested in anymore. And me being a violinist, I decided I'm not going to push her because I was pushing her too much. And when she heard, well, what I do with the kids, or even things I do with you, she's like, well, if I had been doing that, I would have stayed. So, you know, this is one of those things. So what we do with the kids, or what I try to do, and Orchestra is very open to exploring other genres. In fact, their curriculum is really interesting because they add composition elements. I love adding composition elements or improvisation. And now that I have more tools that you've given me, it's really fun because the kids get it, and to very little extent, they can do many things, but like short. And so I approach it similarly, both to adults and kids, but I think the difference is how much I give them and depending on what they can handle. But most of the time, they learn really fast, because they don't have the mindset barrier. They can just learn. And whether an adult struggles more, like last night with my student, she was saying, well, I want to play with mucho. I was going to play with the metronome, but then I decided not to. Like, she was just double guessing, right? And I think it's normal because we've been trained to do certain things, and it's hard to get away. So I think it's really valuable either way for anyone.
Yeah. So when you decided to start running this studio specifically for women that had, put their violin down for a while and have come back, I'm curious, first of all, I'm curious what are some of the biggest things you've learned from them as a teacher? Is there any things that come to mind?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think when you give people the tools they need and the inspiration, and just give them a little flexibility, the things they do are amazing. And I think it's just allowing them to make mistakes. It's one thing that's really important. Like, they don't. To me, I always tell them, you don't have to apologize if you did something that you think, you know, either a mistake or you don't have to. I just help them to practice differently, I think, is one of the things. And for me, practicing more efficient, and also practicing things that you want to really practice, is important in our case, because we don't have the luxury of having 3, 4 hours of practice. Often I teach them to practice 7 minutes per day. So it's a very specific way of practicing. And for that, you have to be hyper focused, and you have to be efficient, and you have to know why you're practicing what you're practicing.
Wow.
So it's important because for them, that's how they are successful. They can fit between washing dishes and putting the kids to bed, they fit 15 minutes, and
Wow.
they do the things they do. So it's important, I think, to be motivated. But for that, you have to also give a little freedom on what they're doing. And also
Wow.
a little bit of thing, some obviously some content that they can actually work on that will be helpful.
Whether you play or teach, I want to make sure you know about our free resources designed to help you or your students in their practice. I'm talking about over 200 free play-along lessons, also known as guided practice sessions. Simply cue up the video and play along. We've got videos for different styles, different levels, and they're free. You can find them at creativestrings.org or christianhouse.com. Thanks very much to Electric Violin Shop for supporting the Creative Strings podcast. Electric Violin Shop is not only the best solution for all things electric strings, they are also an employee-owned business. Maybe that's why you're always going to get a human to pick up the phone and answer your questions, no matter how many questions you have when you call Electric Violin Shop during business hours. You can call Electric Violin Shop anytime between roughly 9 and 5 Eastern, and you will get a human to pick up the phone and answer literally any question you have about electric violins, electric cellos, amplifiers, cables, effect pedals, and anything connected to that. Whether you're a player or whether you run an orchestra program, if you're in the U.S., call Electric Violin Shop at 866-900-8400. That's a toll-free call. 866-900-8400. They are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. When you do speak with Electric Violin Shop, tell them I sent you, and if you do buy anything, you'll end up getting an extra discount. They'll definitely take care of you. You can also find them at electricviolinshop.com. Creative string players and teachers depend on Yamaha because Yamaha backs up their electric and acoustic string instrument lines with the best warranties I know of. And they support music educators and associations like American String Teachers Association, events like Suzuki Institutes, school visits around the country, and they support much more in music education. If you're on Facebook, and if you're a current or future music educator, join Yamaha Music Educator Community, free. Thanks to everyone at Electric Violin Shop and at Yamaha for supporting Creative Strings Podcast. It's interesting because it almost reminds me of more of like a quote unquote, like just, I guess, life coaching, which I don't personally love that word because I feel like it means different things to different people. But it sounds like, because it sounds like you're just being present to them and giving them feedback and some accountability. I wonder if it helps that they know that like this is specifically for them, as opposed to if they were joining a kid's studio, like if it was a Suzuki studio for kids. And yeah, I'm a Suzuki dad too, and I'm a Suzuki kid. I love Suzuki, but so nobody's not. We're not knocking Suzuki.
No, I love Suzuki too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. And but like, I wonder if it helps them because, as you're saying, it's like it's really flexibly designed for them being adults, also being women. Does that help them somehow to not be in a studio with kids and feel like an outsider?
I think it does. And I can tell you why I chose women, because I even had the people question me on the campaign. Sometimes people in my Facebook, they do ask, why don't you help men? And the answer to that is I have helped men many times. I work with probably even more male students before when I was working for other studios. So it's not about why women or why men, but it was about seeing the lack of space for women. And the point is that when I came down to really figuring out who I want to help, when I created the program and kind of went through the process of narrowing the same niche, I really had to think, well, who can I help more or who is more similar to myself? And I could give more value to this group of people for many reasons. One, in our sessions, we even have sometimes kids in the background jumping, asking the mom for a snack during masterclass. Like, she's doing something for us. It's happened so many times. We all are in the same situation. If we were in a different situation and you have a group of other kind of people, a lot of people wouldn't understand that. I've had ladies show up playing with no strips just because we are like a family there and we understand. And like, you know what, she told me when one of my students showed up like that, she says, you know what, I wasn't gonna practice if I didn't do it in that moment, and because they do accountability for me, she sent it like that, and she says, you know, apologies for no strip, I'm just doing this because it's gotta get done right now. So I do think that wouldn't have happened if it was a different kind of group.
I think that differentiates it somehow, just the fact that you're making this studio for adults and you're really catering it to their whole life, their whole person, their whole struggles. Were there any, I wonder if, and whatever you're comfortable sharing, if there were any, like struggles that you felt that prompted you to create this studio, or yeah, and or if there's been something that it's helped you with in your life, for example, as you've been running this program.
Yeah, definitely. The whole program is based on personal experience for sure. Just from the same similarities, starting late in life to play violin, being a passion that I had that I couldn't let go, feeling that there was a deadline that I had to achieve certain things by, I don't know, before getting married or before having kids. And then feeling that I didn't make the deadline and then kind of giving up because in a
Wow.
way, I it was too late. There was somewhere in my mind that said, it's too late. Imposter syndrome, for sure, imposter syndrome. And I think the fact that just life getting in the way too, finding a different job and getting stuck doing that job. I've always been self-employed or freelancing teaching, but at some point I did get another job and completely took me off music, and that was really hard to swallow. And I think that became it was a busy job, so I had a burnout, and during that burnout, I really had to really sit down and think, okay, what am I gonna do because this is not working? And the burnout was a blessing in disguise because it really made me realize that I wanted to do music regardless of to what capacity or what level. I just had to figure a way to come back to music. It's what I love doing and what I'm trying to do, so why not? But if I had taken the normal route of okay, try to get into an orchestra. Well, first of all, there's no real places where I live where I could have gone into an orchestra. Spaces are limited. I freelance all the time. That's okay. I can play weddings, but there's just so many weddings I can play. So at some point you have to really open up other spaces, and this just happened to be one of them.
So if I understand correctly, you had like a quote unquote normal 9 to 5 type of job. You got out of music, and then you were like, I can't stand this. I want to go back into music. You felt a lot of fears about how to do that, but then you pushed through it and you created this studio, this teaching program. And wow, that's amazing.
In
Yeah.
a
And
nutshell, I've never been a totally 9 to 5 person, but it was definitely a job for some that I had working for someone else. Yeah, it's basically it. I mean, I did work many years before just teaching music full time too. Then when the kids came, I let that go and I did this job because it was more flexible and I didn't want to be teaching in the evenings because then you never see your kids. And that's why I stopped music originally. But then I just, the other job just really turned out to be that. And
yeah.
going back was the hard part because, like you said, it's just the fact that you have been out of the music scene for so long and the contacts, you don't have them anymore. You're out of shape. I was so out of shape too. Just that was the one thing that made me do this program because I was physically out of shape, but also musically. I just couldn't play what I used to play, right? And I was really dedicated before. So that was a really hard thing to accept that I couldn't play 3 hours with two kids anymore or however long I was playing before. And through the burnout, I actually, if I may share this, I gained a lot of weight. It was really difficult
Sure.
to go through that process. Burnouts are really something that is not something easy to deal with necessarily. Like sometimes it's very hard to get out of one when it's a really deep one. And the way I did it was to doing just little mini workouts because I just couldn't handle anything else.
Wow.
And I just came to the conclusion, if I have to get in shape and go back to having a healthy life, I have to do little workouts of 7 minutes, 4 minutes. And that's what I did for a full year. And I lost 12 kilos.
Wow.
I realized, okay, if we can do this with our body, why cannot we do it with music? You know,
wow.
So that's how I got back into playing myself, just creating things, routines that I could focus really, really clearly on. And this is how the program was created, basically.
Wow. Now, and then within when you, I mean, it's amazing to me, all that's amazing. And by the way, like, it's so kind of humbling for me to recognize as a man, like how much I, you know, I take for granted and don't really have to go through as a woman, just as you're telling me about this, you know, just thinking about all the things that, that women go through that men don't go through. So that's like really...
Maybe they do. We just don't talk about them as much. I don't think it's necessarily more difficult for women. I think it's equally difficult for humans, any kind of human. But
right.
I just happen to understand this particular situation, and that's how I can help.
Right on. Right on.
I think you guys have different difficulties.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Fair enough. Well, it's enlightening to me, nonetheless, just to hear about things that maybe women talk, you know, maybe when women are in a space together, they share a lot of these things, and maybe I don't.
They don't invite you, maybe.
Yeah, or maybe I haven't paid attention. So it's helpful because I want to pay better attention to the, you know, I want to understand those things, you know, because, well, some of my students are women, and I want to be able to, you know, to help them in ways that are appropriate, you know, that I want to be able to relate to them. So it's just really interesting to hear these things. If you're new to the Creative Strings podcast, I want to make sure you know that we have 45 great episodes just like this one, featuring stories of amazing musicians, educators, and entrepreneurs, where you get to hear not only the music, but human stories. Make sure to subscribe and share these episodes. Find any place where you listen to podcasts and look up Creative Strings Podcast, or go to creativestrings.org or christianhouse.com. You can subscribe there. While you're there, look around for many programs that we have to help you in your practicing, in your teaching, and or in your entrepreneurial development of your career. Feel free to reach out to me anytime if I can help. Just email me, chris@christianhouse.com. Now back to the episode. There's so many things that you had to transition to: quit your old job, you've got two kids, you're getting in shape musically, and then you're going to start a business, but also you're going to provide this new type of service to adults. And so I guess one side is kind of like the business organization side of a studio. Like, what do you offer people? How do you do it? The other side is like the musical curriculum side. And I wonder if, are there any things about how to deliver online educational experience, and or the types of like curriculum or exercises that you have your students, are there any, because we've worked together a lot, and I'm just curious if there were any of the things that we worked on that in through the Creative Strings workshop that were like stuck out to you as being like, okay, here's something that that helped either on the delivery side or the musical side.
Yeah, absolutely. The delivery side, just seeing you work with all of us, regardless of the level, that was an eye-opener for me. The way I was teaching before was kind of group lesson master classes, but like I really asked everyone to play in turn, things like that. But you really opened my eyes to like playing more as a group in mute, and like really they have a chance to work on their thing without worrying about who's listening or not. And that's very open, and I can see my students now, or the women that I work with too, the clients, they just do it now naturally, you know, like I'm explaining something to someone and they go and practice the same thing, regardless whether it's something they are working on, they just join in the background and they are learning and they're higher, you know, practicing a higher position. So that's one thing.
So that's in the group lessons, just having people play more of the time, basically.
Yeah, and I remember one of our first coaching sessions, you said that, like, have them play. They're there to play. Whereas before, I was really focused on coaching them, but, like, having a theme prepared, and, like, I was really making my life complicated. And so you definitely simplify my life on that regard. You helped me also a lot by reusing material, and that was an eye opener too, because I work so much less. And it's I mean, the way I have my courses set up, I have an app, so the app is where I deliver my content, and I had already a course done, but now my app has grown so much since I've done the courses with you, because it's so much easier to create material and that's valuable for them, and they all reuse it at some point, one or another. I can send them in this section, in this module is this thing, so you go there and find it, and they do, and they get the solution. And that, I think before I was more on the mindset of, oh, I have to keep, I don't know, delivering physically, even though they were doing it already. So it changed completely how I'm doing things, for sure, after I work with you. So thank you so much.
Oh, no, please. Yeah, you're welcome. It's part of the reason I invited you to be here is because I'm just so I'm so impressed with the way that you are teaching, and the way you're serving your students, let alone running a multifaceted, busy life. But I think also because it's an inspiration to anybody listening that, like, you can, you know, so much as possible, if you want to deliver an educational, meaningful experience, whether to adults or kids, whether online or offline. And I think that's kind of it's really valuable to get your testimony about that. Because if I'm hearing correctly, like, you have found that it's been easier for you to create your own educational content in your voice.
Yeah.
You know, and repurpose it and serve more people with it, freeing up your own time. You've been able to create, and I'm just interpreting, and please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been able to give your students feedback, accountability, personalized experiences, community experience, giving them time to be online where they're playing, they're actively getting their workout, you know, all these things. But you've been able to juggle that with all these other things in your life because you've got different strategies that you bring into place that make it a lot easier than the, maybe we'll say, the traditional way where it's like all about one-to-one time, right? Which, yeah, is harder to scale and fit in.
Absolutely. I'm never going back to that. I was already not doing that when I met you so much, but this is even more pinpointed to what I want to be doing. But also I want to add, it's not just so much, yes, I created, it's much easier now. You've opened my eyes to so many things too. But the one thing I find even more valuable is what it does for me as a musician. Because I don't think I was taking enough advantage of the time preparing content for my students, for my own growth. And that is one of the things that I see a lot in the consultations that I have with women that come. A lot of them are music teachers, that's the main issue. They don't have time to practice themselves. Because they have big programs and they have all these things. That was a big eye-opener for me. And even just to now, even though I teach people practice more efficiently, and I can do that myself, but the creative part I was struggling with. And that's the part that I think I really gained, because I didn't know, I knew I could do it, but I didn't know how. Like, how do I continue to be creative and continue to grow as a musician as I'm creating this content and not just get stuck on practicing first position things or X, Y, you know? So you really opened that for me, because now I can do really whatever I want, honestly. So what I do is well, you know, my student requested you to play Dynamite, for example, and that's a challenge. It's a difficult song. And so when I saw you do that, it really opened my eyes too, because it was a challenge for you to practice that. And you said it in the video. And I could bring it down to their level. I bet you I could bring it back and they'll get a lot out of it for a long time because they're little kids, you know, they still have a lot to learn. But for me to see you do that, it really opened my eyes because see, after that, I kept just asking the kids, what do you want to do? And then they would give me a song, and it's a song I don't know. So one, it's making me hear different music, it's making me explore other genres, it's making me create content that I am enjoying because I'm more into the creative aspect of music anyway. So for me, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I've got probably maybe two more questions, or you may have already answered these, but I was going to say, what would you recommend to a teacher and or a player who wants to branch out from classical music? Anything that would strike you as one thing that they could do?
They could definitely work with you. That's the first thing
Ah.
I recommend.
I really set that one up, didn't I? Okay.
I'm serious. I'm serious because look, I mean, I have followed you for I don't know how long, like before I decided to join you because for me you were up there, you know, one day I'll do it. And I mean, it's been a whole process, right? Like I said, breaking through the barriers, the mindset barriers, and just believing that I could come back to music and all these things, to the point that you came out. I was able to join when I was ready to join your program, and it took me a few years. It's like I had it, you know, for a long time in my mind, but whether you make yourself doubt because you cannot do it or you don't know enough, or it's too expensive because that's another mindset, whatever the mindset is, I think. It's just a matter of really seeing what your problem is. Why are you really not joining if you want to join a program like yours, for example, or a program like mine, or just playing? And once you know that, then you can take that step.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I guess it sounds like, 'cause part of what I was going to ask is what would you recommend for teachers who want to expand their teaching practice or find more satisfaction and fulfillment from their teaching and playing? And but, obviously if they could come and work with you, they could come work with me. But I think a lot of the things we've covered today, I mean, if talking about to expand the practice with the things that you just listed a few minutes ago, and these short little workouts, I think that's a really inspirational takeaway for teachers as well. I guess my last question would be, how can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you?
Well, my domain is the name of the program is Violin Bootcamp. That's the name
Violin
of the
Bootcamp.
app. Yeah, and the domain is violinbootcamp.ca, and I do have an app on Android, but it's easier to find the domain I find because I offer a free consultation. So basically, you can find me on that domain and book a free consultation with me and see whether I am the right fit for you and if I can help and so on. So that's the easiest way. And then I'm in social media as well.
Violinbootcamp.ca, book a free call with Marlin, and or find the way it looks on social media. If is it the way, well, for me as a, I don't know, North America, well, I don't know how to say it, but when I see your name, I naturally used to call you Marlene, but that's just because the way it's spelled, Marlene. And then
Correct.
it's Cruz, Cruz, and then Lozano, Lozano. Is that how you go by on the social media?
That's right. On Instagram, yeah, that's my handle is at Merlin Cruz Lozano. On Facebook, I should know it by memory, shouldn't I? But you can just actually search my name, but the actual handle on Facebook is, I believe, violinist Ottawa.
Got it. Yeah, no, I'm the
I
same
never
way.
used
My
it.
I can never remember mine either because they're different too, actually. I know it's crazy.
I
Well,
think it's
is
the
it?
person that's Ottawa violinist, but I'm the other one. It's one of those two.
Yeah. Is there anything else you can think of that we didn't cover today or that you'd like for people to know?
I think we covered a lot, but I think my biggest takeaway, I made 4 points that I generally teach my students. I don't know if you would like me to just mention a
Yeah,
few of them.
please. Yes, please.
And I made an actual list because I knew that this would be interesting. But the 4 things that I try to help them with is one, to be persistent. Second is to be resilient. And the name of my community is Resilient Violinist for a reason. To me, to begin with, the meaning of resilience, right, is to be able to bounce back and to rebuild yourself and go back, reset yourself. So that's the second thing I try to teach my clients. The third is to be relentless, and the fourth is to be fearless. So I hope that somehow helps a little bit.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. No, it's wonderful. And again, it brings me back to this idea that, you're helping people with the violin, but it's really connected to their whole being and their whole character and approach to life. And I just think it's wonderful. That's something I'm really interested in figuring out how to do. And I think that everybody, all of us in this, our community of musicians and teachers, it's a healthy place for us to be thinking about how can we connect what we do.
One of my Mexican, I consider him one of my best violin teachers. He was generally like genuinely, that's a hard word to say. He really was a life changing person, because he saw violin as a lifestyle, not as an instrument you're playing. And every class I left after being with him was, I kid you not, it was a life opening. It was almost like going to a guru or having a yoga meditation class. And every lesson I left made me want to go back and practice what he had told me, because it was related somehow to life. So I thank him because in a way this helped me go through this process.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a great thing to aspire to, I think, for all of us teachers, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Marlene. I really just want to acknowledge you for the way that you serve so many people, kids and adults alike, and just for everything that you have continued to do to be resilient and to be persistent and to go after this and to create all this. It's incredible. You're really a huge inspiration to me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. It's much appreciated.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Yamaha and Electric Violin Shop, for supporting Creative Strings Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with Marlene, find her at violinbootcamp.ca. That's violinbootcamp.ca, as in Canada. I know she'd love to hear from you. You can find more at the show notes page by going to either creativestrings.org or christianhouse.com. Make sure to subscribe to Creative Strings Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review, tell a friend, share it, and reach out to me anytime, Chris at christianhouse.com.